I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colchonero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on a Thursday. It is his standard Monday appearance, but in this case, on a Thursday, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colchonero Chat, which chronicles a truly crazy evening at the Emirates. Emirates Stadium in London, the site of the first leg of the Europa League semifinal between Arsenal and Atletico. It finished 1-1, somehow, some way. Atletico down to 10 men for 80 minutes, but scratch and claw and grab that vital away goal through Antoine Griezmann ahead of the second leg next week. We will dissect this game in its entirety, including Arsenal's dominance, the absurdity of the Versalco red card, Simeone getting sent to the stands, the key figures in Atletico's humongous effort to keep the scoreline level, or scoreline close, and we'll take a look at where both teams stand entering the second leg. Arsenal stand to get a key player back in Henrik Mkhitaryan, but Atletico do as well in the form of Diego Costa. We'll also get a chance to preview Sunday afternoon's contest at Alaves. Winners of three of their last four, they are now safe, away from relegation. Atletico could only draw at Mendizorroza last year. Will this year be any different, as Atleti fight to consolidate second place in the table? Before we launch into all that, however, make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It really helps us to get more eyes and ears on the program. In addition, you can head over to patreon.com/Colchonero Chat if you want to become a Colchonero Chat amigo. Lots of rewards out there for you, including more on the way. More on the way for Colchonero Chat amigos, such as Van Selby, one of our $5 amigos. He's part of the Peña. If you want to join him and others like him, hop on over to patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this.
So I'm trying to get like notes together, just cobble a few things together, but I think the episode might work better if I don't do that. If we like just don't have a game plan, if we just like talk.
It's free form. Yeah, let's do it.
Free form podcasting.
Yeah, we're visionaries. We're artistic visionaries.
We are always pushing the envelope here on Colchonero Chat.
Oh, well, what else are we going to be doing?
I actually had to plug in my mic, so give me just a second.
Yeah, no problem.
Where is my USB port? There it is. We started recording, but my mic wasn't plugged in. I was so excited.
A behind-the-scenes look.
Yeah, one of those rare glimpses of an artist at work, of two artists at work here.
Which end of the USB cord is up? Always a good question.
I got it. We're good. I figured it out. Arsenal 1, Atletico Madrid 1, first leg of the Europa League semifinal at the Emirates Stadium. Oh, boy. There are, like, a ton of places we could start, because this one, at least I did. You maybe not so much. This was about running the emotional roller coaster. This was definitely riding the emotional roller coaster. This really did feel like the Champions League. This felt like a Champions League semifinal.
Yeah, I would say so. And I think in kind of some cases, it was a little bit better than some of the recent Champions League knockout games we've had, where the first leg was just a steamrolling.
Looking at you, Bayern and Roma.
Yeah, exactly. So if you, I was very glad to see that, you know, after this leg, there's still quite a lot that could happen in the second leg. Whereas in some of these other games, it's 5-0 in the second leg. You're like, well, what are we really hoping for here?
Yeah, I wouldn't make any declarations after this first leg, but you got to feel good from an Atletico perspective. You got to feel good about getting that away goal. It's giant, and it just a lot of suffering went into making that goal. A lot of suffering and a lot of sweat and a lot of work went into that goal. I know Arsenal cocked it up, but there was a lot of work that went into that one.
Yeah, and I actually thought, despite the fact Atletico basically had none of the ball ever, I thought in the first half in particular they got some good chances towards the end of the first half. So it wasn't totally shocking to me that Atletico scored, even though they had way less shots and way less possession. But, you know, I think the looks that they did have were quite good. And from someone who's watched almost every game of his Arsenal career, a little bit of poo does come out every time David Ospina has the ball at his feet. overall, a stressful game, but I think being stressed out for both teams kind of balanced it out for me, so I wasn't dying throughout the match, which was pretty good.
You want to guess Atletico's possession?
Oh, God, it can't be good. Is it less than 30?
It is less than 30.
Is it less than 25?
It is less than 25.
Oh, God. Like 22?
24.
Oh, God. That is pretty... not a lot.
In the last week, we have seen Atletico have 33% of the ball and 24% of the ball against Betis and Arsenal, respectively.
Yeah, a bit of an interesting one against two teams that are pretty good going forward, but can't really defend to save their lives. So there you go.
Atletico had 451 touches in this match. Arsenal, 984.
A little difference.
The heat maps for this are just remarkable. I might include it with the show description, but the heat maps on who scored are just simply remarkable, where Arsenal were getting their touches and how frequently they were getting touches in dangerous areas. Just insanity.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Arsenal put in a lot of crosses, I thought, was one thing that I took away from it. And having watched Arsenal a lot, that's not something they normally do. And against a pretty, probably Atletico's best back line, if all four had been there the whole match, they were very solid against that. They made about a trillion clearances the whole match.
Yeah, if all four had been there. We'll get to that in a minute. And crossing the ball as frequently as Arsenal did, it usually is not a successful strategy against Atletico because you have taller center backs. In Jimenez's case, you have a very dynamic pairing as well with him and Godin. Usually it doesn't work, but their goal came off a cross from Wilshere, and Lacazette beat Lucas in the air.
Yeah, very true, which is not a battle you would have picked Lacazette to win.
Not even close. Lucas should have done a lot better. I mean, Oblak was a little late getting to the ball, but Lucas should have done a lot better.
Yeah, I think so. I think the main thing, I don't think Arsenal won a lot of the first headers when they did the cross, but they were pretty diligent about winning the second balls, I thought, with Mesut Ozil and Jack Wilshere and Aaron Ramsey were constantly swarming around the edge of the Atletico box, which was fairly nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and Ozil ended up being fit for this game, which was just so huge for Arsenal. I wonder what this match would have gone like if he hadn't been fit.
Yeah, Arsenal would have had a really, really tough time creatively, I think, because he was just everywhere pretty much and constantly feeding balls into the box. But I think both sides really did quite well. I was very annoyed about the red card, not quite for the same reasons that you were. My reason was that I just don't like to see red cards, especially that early. I thought it was going to take something out of this match, and it actually ended up being a good match despite the red card, because of it.
It did, and yeah, before we get to that, Arsenal had 37 crosses in this game, if my maths are right. 14 successful crosses, accurate crosses. That's a lot.
It's a lot, especially for a team that sold their target man in January.
Shimi Rusalko had one cross in the, 10 minutes he was on the pitch?
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, geez, let's dissect it. I thought the red card was absurd. I still think it's absurd. Not only did it happen in the first 10 minutes, which is just, you just don't do that. It's like calling a penalty in the 93rd minute, Michael Oliver. It's just something that you don't do. And at any rate, the foul wasn't yellow card worthy. At least in my estimation, I didn't think it was a yellow card. Like, Rusalko got the ball. To me, that's where the discussion, the debate ends. He got the ball. I know the follow-through wasn't good, but he got the ball.
Yeah, I think so. But I think that's kind of just something you have to take in the modern game. And it drives me absolutely crazy because, you know, not to go kind of old man on it, but 10 years ago, the foul he got sent off for would have been a yellow card, the first one, not a second one. Maybe. I think booking him so early, I think, was a bit of a mistake. I think that could have easily been a warning. But you're taking that risk when you get booked so early.
Yeah, it's weird because the first booking, Jimenez sold him out. Jimenez made a mistake.
Yeah.
And Vrsaljko had to make a tackle to prevent, you know, a 2v1. So that was kind of Jimenez's fault, the first yellow. But the second one, I mean, I just keep going back to he got the ball. It should not have been a second yellow, but I think in a way that reinvigorated Atletico, didn't it? Because the first 10 minutes, it was really sloppy. And Arsenal might have scored anyway. It was real sloppy. But then Atletico go down to 10 men, and it's just like a separate gear. You know, they click into a different gear. Like, they just love it. It's a return to the underdog mentality, being down 10 men at Arsenal. This is the classic, no one's taking us seriously. No one's favoring us now. Let's go out there and dig deep. I think that kind of rejuvenated them.
Yeah, I think so. And I think there's actually an argument to be made that Arsenal would have been better off had Atletico not gone down to 10 men. So yes. Again, that brings us back to the point that the red card just shouldn't have happened.
Right.
It would have just been better for the entire match if it hadn't been given. So as someone with a foot in both camps, I was pissed off about it equally. And I see what the referee saw in that red card challenge, but not for me. I don't think that was a second yellow.
No.
Either one of those yellow cards, he could have just had a word instead. But it was a poorly managed game from the referee overall.
Yeah, and then Simeone gets sent off 2 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought that was awesome from Simeone. I know it's going to cost him the second leg and possibly the final if Atletico get there. But do you think it was worth it? Do you think Simeone got his money's worth? It's like, you know, think Bobby Cox. You're a Braves fan. Think Bobby Cox.
Hey, I will never ever criticize a manager for getting thrown out of a match.
There you go.
not at all. I agree with you. I think it invigorated the players. Again, to sort of back up that back against the wall mentality.
Yep.
And it worked. It worked. It was a dumb match, and those were the only two yellow cards shown in the whole match.
Yeah, that's even
so abominable that also happened.
Like, that's even jankier, is that those were the only two yellow cards shown in the game. Turpin had no control over the game really at any point. I mean, after the red card, it was a relatively clean game, to be fair, but there were still hard fouls, there were still hard challenges. I remember one toward the end of the first half where Ramsey just totally upended Correa. Should have been a yellow card, no question, and, you know, play continued. I think it was advantage good.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of those, and none of them were particularly obviously egregious challenges, but I think there were quite a few opportunities where there should have been fouls given and there weren't, and it was given as play on. It's like, well, if you're going to do that from the start, not once you've given a red card.
Right, he just had no control over proceedings out there, and that's what – red card or not, that's what a referee's supposed to do. If you're telling me mm-hmm. he's going to send off Vrsaljko, but still dole out yellow cards and keep a tight leash on the game, okay, it's a little more understandable. Still ridiculous, but more understandable. He doesn't even give out a yellow card the rest of the game.
Yeah,
you know, that's
absolutely.
That's why you're in the Europa League, my dude.
Yeah, exactly. It was a poor performance from the referee, but I'm glad that it didn't spoil the tie. It would have been a shame if Arsenal had, from that point, had just gone on and won by a large margin. I think that would have just been kind of terrible, because I want to see these two teams go against each other, because it's two very, very contrasting styles.
Yes.
And I think that makes for a really, really fun two legs.
And I think you mentioned the contrasting styles, and I think, as I had written about and talked about, that ended up playing in Atletico's favor, right? Arsenal had 76% possession. You know, you have Granit Xhaka with 150-plus touches. You know, four Arsenal outfielders had over 110 touches. That's a lot of the ball. And they're all attacking players.
For a normal team, that's, like, amazing and really good. The thing about Arsenal is, when that's the case, they generally are less likely to score.
Yeah, and look at the scoreline. It took them an hour to score in the first place, and then you look at the full-time scoreline.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think Arsenal, you know, they can be victims of getting too much in their own heads, and I think that certainly happened towards the last part of this match. So, and also, hilarious, Arsene Wenger going out just as he always was. I'm not making any subs. Sticking to the 11. I like the 11.
He made
not a single sub.
No subs, and they only have Manchester United this weekend before they go to Madrid next week.
Oh, he's gonna play like 12-year-olds, I think.
Yeah,
might as well.
No subs. That was really strange.
Yeah, but of course Arsene Wenger doesn't make subs to the 70th minute anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference.
I mean, his options off the bench weren't great. I mean, you had Kolasinac. Okay, he's fine. Iwobi's pretty good.
And you didn't really need defensive cover, I guess, for Kolasinac. But yeah, I don't. The bench is not very inspiring. To be frank, the benches weren't inspiring for either side.
Yeah, Atletico's bench was better. And Costa, Gabby, yeah. Vitolo all on it. Although two of those three didn't play. Torres was on it. Savage and Gabby ended up both getting into the game, which I didn't think would happen. But you know, circumstances dictated that.
Yeah, I get those subs. I was all prepared to be annoyed about Simeone's substitutions if it had ended as 1-0. And I think in some respect he got a bit lucky, but, you know, it is what it is. And it paid off for him, but we've seen many occasions this season where it hasn't.
This was just a lot of suffering. As I said before, yeah. This was just a lot of soaking up just all this pressure, all these dangerous opportunities Arsenal had. And Simeone wasn't playing for the 1-1. Like, if he got a 1-1, okay, great. He was playing to keep it 1-0 entering the second leg.
Yeah.
You know, because Gabby comes on for Gamero, who really wasn't very good. Worked hard, but wasn't very good. Gabby came on for him. Stefan Savage came on for Correa, who kind of the same deal. Savage, I thought, was excellent in, you know, his 15 minutes on the pitch. And then Torres comes on as soon as Griezmann scores.
Yeah.
Just to kind of, you know, salt some more time away.
Yeah, it worked out, and I think it'll make for an interesting second leg because Arsenal have to score. I think a lot of what happens in the second leg comes down to what Diego Simeone does.
Didn't Tomas play well at right back, though? I thought he was brilliant.
Completely agree. I thought he was excellent. He had his 10 minutes in central midfield, and then, oh, sorry, Tomas, you got to go play right back again.
We got to go play you at right back because Juan Fran's hurt. For like the second year in a row, we have to play you at right back in April. Like, Jesus.
Sorry, Tomas, sorry.
But
he really deserved to get a run out in central midfield today.
But he did a job, though. I thought he was terrific. And he wasn't it him who played the long ball up to Griezmann?
It might have been.
I think it was him. I have to go back and check.
I don't know.
But yeah, I think it was him. But speaking of Griezmann and the goal, just a whole bunch of Arsenaling going on here. What wasn't it, Rob? Because you have just the simple ball over the top. Okay, great. Griezmann is in a race with Koscielny. Koscielny clears it off his own face. Griezmann picks it up. Forces a save out of Ospina, who is now, you know, out of position. Mustafi tries to dive, mistimes his dive, his sliding tackle, and Griezmann hits it off his own thigh and into the goal, into the top of the net. Like, so much happening on that goal.
Yeah, it was not the most beautiful goal in the world, that's for sure. But for my money, I think Mustafi should have cleared it off the line. But all the while, it is, as you say, standard Arsenal, overdone by just a simple punt over the top. Nothing really hugely surprising there.
And Mustafi was, like, flopping around like a fish out of water. Like,
I don't know how he fell, like, right on the line. Don't really know how that happened.
It wasn't intentional, and at no point was he really even close to getting the ball.
No. He really should have cleared that ball, I think. But... you know, this is Mustafi and Koscielny, who are two of the best center backs that also can produce some of the shittest moments of defending I've ever seen.
I mean, that's kind of been Koscielny's whole career.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Although, when he first came to Arsenal, he was just shit. But now he's kind of figured out the being okay sometimes part. So, and credit to him for that.
And Mustafi, I've just always rated Mustafi, especially when he was at Valencia. He was just class when he was in La Liga. But yeah, it was like the be the change you want to see in the world meme for Mustafi, just kind of rolling around on the goal line trying to block the shot, and then he just doesn't.
Yeah, that was quite poor.
And at first, I didn't see it, but Griezmann did hit it off his own thigh, somehow.
It was a very crazy passage of play that Koscielny passed it to Griezmann off his own face. That was strange. I like seeing players get their own rebound from a shot, and that's exactly what Griezmann did, and it was beautiful. And he was very off balance as well. I think that's kind of underrated, how he was so close to just tripping and scuppering the opportunity.
Like, this was just pure, like I tweeted, pure determination from Griezmann. That's really what this was. He just stuck with this until the ball went in the net.
Yeah, it was a very nice goal, and it's changed the tie. In some ways, because now I think Atletico are going to be very happy in the second leg to sit back on their lead. How adventurous they will be, I think, is the question.
Between Jose Jimenez and Diego Godin, how many clearances do you think those two got?
About 10 bazillion. If you add that together with their blocks, about an infinity. They blocked about a trillion shots.
Total clearances between the Uruguayans, 16. Which is a little low. That's a little low.
Even still.
Yeah, between them, they blocked 5 shots as well.
There you go. It was a tremendous defensive performance, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, not quite Barcelona 2016 levels, but this was still just, I thought, tremendous performance defensively. Jimenez wasn't great, made a couple more mistakes like he did on Sunday. I thought Godin was fantastic. The decision to rest him on Sunday paid off handsomely. I thought he was great. He looked maybe not as energetic as he has all year, but there was a noticeable like improvement in his vitality.
Yeah, I think so. He was very up for this one. And I'm kind of shocked that we haven't yet talked about one man wearing green.
You mean
the shot stopper? Because he was pretty good.
He was very decent.
He was all right.
Saved at least
made a couple
skins.
Solid saves.
Yeah, saved their skins more than once.
Yes.
The save he made, it was off Ramsey, right? Like in the 87th minute, like
the header.
Yeah, he just got it with a couple fingers.
I don't really know how he made that save, to be totally honest.
I don't know how Oblak makes half his saves. I mean, he's just so athletic. And he just is so quick out of his net and so quick off his line. He is just able, because he's just supremely athletic, he's just able to make these kinds of crazy highlight reel saves. He made like 2 or 3 today that were just, no one, not even De Gea makes those saves. No one else in Europe makes those saves in these situations.
I think Oblak, even as good as he is, I think he's kind of underrated. I don't think people really know how damn good he's been this whole year.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's had, what, one bad game? Maybe? And that wasn't even that bad?
Which game?
I don't even remember. I just remember a game thinking he was bad, and I can't even remember it. I think we probably conceded one goal. Like, not that big of a deal. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah, he wasn't, he's been amazing. He wasn't in net in either of the Copa games against Sevilla. It was Moya both times.
I think it was recently, but I can't recall which game it was. But I won't ever criticize Jan Oblak for more than one game, I think.
No, he's brilliant. Like I said, I thought he was a little slow on Lacazette's goal, but you do expect Lucas to do a lot better than he did, kind of winning that ball in the air. You do expect Lucas to kind of win that.
And the goal for Arsenal was kind of a weird passage of play. I think it had gotten headed out of the box, and then it came back in, and Jack Wilshere made a kind of unexpected run. So I can kind of understand Oblak being a bit off balance for that one.
That was just Jack Wilshere on the assist, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Wilshere. Yeah. Yeah, he's a guy.
He's a thing.
Yeah, I think I saw someone on Twitter a while ago call Arsenal like the Dudeville of all teams. It's just a bunch of dudes. Bunch of dudes out there that are, and then there's like Mesut Ozil. He's there, and he makes everyone else a lot better.
Bunch of dudes doing dude stuff.
Bunch of dudes, Mesut Ozil. So.
But yeah, it was Griezmann who gave it away outside the box. The ball was headed out. Griezmann picked it up and then lost it. It was taken off him. And then ball came back to Wilshere. Tomas got caught kind of in no man's land. Didn't know whether to mark Wilshere or go toward the ball. So that gave Wilshere space to cross. And then Griezmann had to make up for it with his goal. But that was another kind of really weird passage of play. And Atletico had just held on so well for 50 minutes, down to 10 men with their manager in the stands. They had just held on so well. I mean, it wasn't like there was no danger, because Oblak did have to make, you know, some big interventions. But it was goalless a lot longer than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think so. There were quite a number of opportunities that I thought were a bit more promising than the one Arsenal actually scored from. But
oh yeah,
it was very much attack versus defense for 80 minutes at least. So exciting. It was a weird one. I still don't totally know what to think about. I mean, I guess it's good that it's tied on aggregate and Atletico have the lead, but I'm not super confident in Atletico holding on for another 90 minutes against Arsenal. I know it's a different game and they could get into that siege mentality, but there's a bit of a worry, a bit of the Malaga Depor kind of games where Atleti take their foot off the gas, and if they do that, I'm worried. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens against Alaves this weekend. Yeah, Atletico do play this weekend. I know it doesn't seem like it, but they do. We'll see what happens then. I mean, Costa didn't play. Vitolo didn't play. You got to think they will both be starting, or they will both, at least one of them will start. Costa's going to start the second leg. And you got to think Vitolo will also play some kind of role coming off the bench, because neither of them played. I don't know what they're going to do at right back. You're probably going to start Tomas there, because Simeone does not like to go three at the back, or Mauro Burgos doesn't like to go three at the back. yeah, because it's going to be Burgos, considering Simeone is probably going to be suspended for this game as well.
It's worth it so we can see his hand tats in the post-match interviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do love Burgos. Burgos is the best.
Did you see Simeone's celebration?
Yes, it was pretty excellent. I love that he just like went up to the random like director's box. It was a very strange place for him to be located.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where he was, and I was trying to figure out who he was like hugging, like when Griezmann scored.
I don't know who that was. Probably some club official, presumably.
I would hope so, that it wasn't an Arsenal guy.
An Arsenal just like valet dude just standing there. Yeah, that'd be a problem. but I think having been to the carpet Emirates Stadium, they have these weird like rings that separate the how rich you are levels. So I think he was in sort of like the third guy, ultra rich tier of viewing platforms.
Yeah, so since you've been there, estimate his path from the dugout to the third tier, if you would.
Well, he'd have to go down the tunnel and then probably up two or three flights of stairs, or an elevator, probably. Emirates probably has an elevator for VIPs. And then there's, like, just a ring that goes around. It's like a running track indoors that goes around, and he probably just went out some random door, because there's doors everywhere, and stood on one of those balconies. And ironically was behind Arsenal's CEO.
Yes, he was.
Which I think a lot of people, you know, everyone's like, oh, Hardy Har, he's going to go to Arsenal, but it's not, you know, that was, I think, just coincidence.
It was mostly the British media doing that, if you noticed.
Well, and Alexi Lalas, who's a genius in our modern times.
He like, he seemed very upset when Griezmann scored. He seemed like, for 1 second, you let your guard down. Like, yeah, he seemed so upset. I'm like trying to figure out why.
He spends most of his time shitting on Arsenal, so I don't really get where he's going with this one.
At any rate.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, at any rate, looking forward a little bit, more than we should, but looking a little bit toward the second leg, I mean, you got to think Tomas starts it right back. Yeah, it depends how Simeone rotates this weekend, assuming he is going to rotate again. It a lot just depends on how the team comes out of Sunday's match. But I think that they're going to be focused for the second leg. I mean, they're at home. They haven't conceded at home in more than 3 months. They haven't Europa League and La Liga combined. They haven't conceded at home since January 20th. So,
yeah, I think the big stories for this next match is Costa going to start? And is Mkhitaryan going to start for Arsenal? Because I think that makes a huge difference. If you have Costa instead of Gamero, that's a huge upgrade. And if you have Mkhitaryan instead of Danny Welbeck, that's also a huge upgrade.
Yeah, what do you think Mkhitaryan would have added if he had been able to play?
I think it kind of would have added another person to deliver that final ball, because Mesut Ozil was doing quite a lot of that. And Hector Bellerin, to be fair, who's normally quite a bad crosser, did pretty well, I thought, crossing the ball in this match. But I think Henrik Mkhitaryan offers something that Arsenal have lost since Alexis Sanchez left the club, which is kind of a bit more of a dynamic runner. Like, Mesut Ozil isn't going to be surging into the box like Cristiano Ronaldo. But Mkhitaryan will try to make runs into the box that other players on this team, other than maybe Aaron Ramsey, won't. So I think that would be a big addition. And I think having Diego Costa be able to bully Lauren Koscielny and Mustafi for a whole match would be also very valuable.
Yeah, Costa bullying Koscielny and just, like, you know, whacking him around for 90 minutes or however long, that should be advantage Atletico, especially after today and seeing how Koscielny played.
Yeah, I wonder if Arsene will maybe change the back line. I doubt it, but Callum Chambers and Rob Holding have been playing okay this season, and I don't think they could do much. I mean, I don't think they could do a worse job than Koscielny, really. So one to watch there as well, I think.
Yeah, Arsenal have United on Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, I was thinking Sunday, considering they just played today.
Yeah, Europa League.
Yeah. I'm used to Champions League thinking still.
I'm
used to Champions League planning, but Alaves hosting Atletico on Sunday afternoon. Alaves were off to a great start under Abelardo after picking up no points through 6 weeks. Abelardo comes in, really steadies the ship, keeps them in La Liga. They won three of their last four. They beat Las Palmas 4-0 last weekend, although Las Palmas, let's be fair, they gave up a year ago.
Yeah.
Let's be real. They just gave up a year ago. But yeah, Alaves have had a good season, especially considering how it started. Just two draws for them this season. That's curious.
Yeah, clearly they're all or nothing kind of a team, but yeah. They have essentially nothing to play for. I think that's a positive for Atletico. They're not going to qualify for Europe. They're not going to get relegated. So unless they just want to, you know, get up to 10th or something, it should be fairly straightforward. But given how Atleti have been playing in La Liga, it's a little worrying.
Hey, this isn't quite last year's Alaves. Atletico went to Mendizorroza last year and just got beat up and down the pitch for 90 minutes and somehow made it out of there with a goalless draw. Alaves last year, Teo Hernandez was in that team, Marcos Llorente was in that team, Pellegrino was the manager. They got to the Copa del Rey final. They finished inside the top half. They were brilliant last year. This season, that kind of attitude and that kind of flair, most of it has been made up by Munir. Munir's been very good. Alfonso Pedraza has also had a good season. And defensively, they are better than they were. I mean, again, they've won three out of the last four with three clean sheets.
Yeah, true. So they are on quite good form. And Munir must not be looking forward to this match, considering how the last one went for him.
Yeah.
Where he got kicked from one end of the pitch to the other.
Yes, he did. Yeah, it was back in December. That was a very ugly game for Munir.
It was not good. He, that poor kid, I almost felt bad for him in that one.
No, he's been good. He's probably been their best player, especially over the second half of the season. And Alaves' home form... eight wins, eight losses.
Yeah, they seem like they're getting established in La Liga, which almost certainly means they'll get relegated last season or next season. So
yeah,
right, every time a team looks like they're comfortable and they're not going to go down, the next season they go down.
Yeah, we're kind of thinking Las Palmas would be up for a couple more years, but nah. We're thinking Depor, surely they have enough talent. Nah, not quite.
Malaga, they almost got to a Champions League semifinal. Ugh.
No. No. Oh, honey, no.
Oh, God, Malaga, why?
And Atletico have only conceded their last 9 games away from home. That is also concerning. And they haven't won in 4 away from home in La Liga. Last time they kept a clean sheet on the road in La Liga against Malaga on February 10th.
Oh, God.
So,
oh, that game was so bad.
Yeah, odds are we are going to see a goal here, a goal aside, at least.
Yeah, let's go for it. Why not?
Scoreline prediction.
2-1, Atletico.
I'm picking 2-1 as well.
Yeah.
I think Atletico will have enough to win this game. And hold on to second place for now, because, yeah, that's still a thing, second place. Just 4 points clear of Madrid, although they have the game in hand that they will make up on May 9th, I think, against Sevilla.
Yeah, not totally looking forward to that one, but it is so important that we consolidate our league position at this point, just so the focus down the stretch can just be on the Europa League if they get through this second leg.
Yeah, if you had to pick one, though, you'd pick Europa League over second place.
Oh, God, yeah. Trophy's always better than a league position.
Yeah. I
absolutely.
My thing is I think both are attainable, especially since Atletico have been in second place more than half the season.
I think Atletico absolutely deserve to finish second. I think if you look at the season as a whole, they've been the second best team. I think Valencia early season peaked, Real Madrid early season shit the bed, and then those both flipped. But I think Atletico have been fairly consistently solid the whole season. Never really got close to Barcelona, but I don't think they deserve to finish less than second.
No, I would agree. But you know, in lieu of that, winning a title would be fine. Winning a trophy would be acceptable. I
always want trophies. Always.
Yeah, I think I would sacrifice second place if it came down to winning Europa League. If it came down to it by winning Europa League.
Oh, I would absolutely agree.
Yeah.
I think if you're not winning the title and you're not going to drop out of the Champions League, I'm not super bothered about where you finish.
Agreed. I mean, Real Madrid finished, you know, fourth 1 year and they won the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. It really doesn't make that much of a difference if you lift a nice trophy at the end of the season.
Indeed. Well, that was a jam-packed episode, unless you have anything else.
No, I think that's all I got.
Well, we still have a bonus pod to do.
Hooray!
But before we do that, to all our regular listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. That was Rob Walker. You can follow him on the Twitters, at rwalk03. You can follow me, of course, at jbberen, J-B-B-E-R-E-N. Follow Into the Calderon, at Into the Calderon. You almost certainly already do. And like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Facebook Live Halftime Analysis is coming back. My experiment with Patreon Halftime Analyses was unsuccessful, so we're going back to Facebook Live. That comes back this weekend for the game against Alaves. Speaking of Patreon page, head over there, patreon.com/ColtNeroChat, if you want to become ColtNeroChat amigo from as little as $1 a month, and subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of the show on Apple Podcasts, wherever else you get your pods. We'll be back Monday. Until then, adios.